This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Recently, President Trump made waves with a series of tweets saying that after consultation with generals, he was banning transgender people from serving in the military. The status of the ban remains unclear since military leaders say that they are awaiting a formal order from the president. We're going to get one perspective on transgender people serving in the armed forces. Dirk Hamilton now lives in Kalamazoo. He served in the Air Force and then later the National Guard, which included a brief tour of duty in Iraq. That was before he transitioned and became a man. Dirk Hamilton, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me, first of all, let's go back and talk about why did you want to join the Air Force in the first place?
Well, Gordon, I think that it may be a common story. I grew up in the hills of eastern Kentucky, and I had graduated high school. I was about 3 years after graduation, still living with my parents. College at that time had not been a good fit for me, and so I was really looking for a way to continue my adult life, and so I thought maybe the military would be a great way to get out, see the world, and earn some income.
And what did you do in the Air Force?
I was a supply troop.
And you later served in the National Guard while you were going to college, is that correct?
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
And what did you do in the National Guard?
Same thing, building off of my former active duty career as a supply technician. I also worked in supply with the Guard.
At that time, your gender identity was a woman, correct?
That's correct. Well, it wasn't my gender identity, but my biological identity was that of female.
And what were you experiencing at that time in terms of wanting to make the transition, or what were you thinking about in terms of wanting to transition to be a man?
At which time?
Let's start with the Air Force.
Okay. I think it's important to realize that there was 11 years between my active duty time and my Air National Guard time. At that earlier time, when I was in the military, that part of my life, my transgender identity, was just basemented. Some people call that closeted. It was known to me, but it wasn't causing me the kind of distress that it later in life came to cause me. And so I just sort of compartmentalized it away. I knew it was there, but I just focused on other things. I focused on my military time and being an adventurous young person and a few romantic interludes, but yeah.
And then during your time in the Air National Guard, were you at a different stage in terms of gender identity and awareness?
I think I had, I know I had spent more time internally coming to grips with it and what it may mean for me at some point. But when I was in the Air National Guard, I was still at a point of having other things that I was able to keep my attention focused on, such as I had returned to college, was pursuing my undergraduate degree, being in the Air National Guard, and periodically being sent on short-term deployments. And so just sort of keeping my focus diverted from that one aspect of myself, which was my gender identity, and just carrying out my life and other functions as normally as anybody else.
When did you leave the Air National Guard?
2007.
And then when did you transition to male?
That process began for me in the summer of 2013.
So as we sit here and talk today and we weigh what President Trump has said about transgender people in the military, you are someone who obviously has a lot of, background here, that you're a military background, someone who transitions gender-wise. So what are your thoughts about what the president has said?
When I first saw an article last week about the tweet, I think it just brought to the surface some concerns that I had carried since I learned of the news that transgender people were suddenly able to openly serve in the military about a year ago. And some of those concerns were things such as concerns for, it's not that transgender identity in and of itself is not termed or considered anywhere as a disorder. What it does do for some people, a lot of people, is it brings a fair amount of what's called gender dysphoria. And that is a mental health concern because that is a type of depression. And so knowing that, you know, the military is a place where people need to be as fit as possible for duty, both physically fit and, you know, mentally fit, I had concerns for some of those vulnerabilities that transgender people often face with mental health, with dysphoria.
Would the concern then be that somebody may, as they're going through this perhaps a discovery of their gender identity, may be experiencing things that make it difficult to serve in the armed forces?
That was my concern. That was my my questioning. Also knowing, even though I didn't transition while in the military, I know firsthand what some of my challenges were and adjustments to my own mental health, things that I went through that affected my family. And of course, because I love and care for my family, that created additional stress, if you will, or some anxieties and, you know, just some emotional things that have to be dealt with as a person transitions. I know quite a few transgender people also besides myself, and it's, you know, it's just not always an easy thing. And so knowing that persons that are actively serving in the military, if they were to be also transitioning while carrying out their military functions, if they also were contending with these added stresses and strains that you do when you transition, that I could see where, or I had a concern because I could see where that could have bearing on their ability to, you know, perform their duty.
Now you say you had a concern.
Had a concern.
Okay. That's past tense. So has something happened that's made that concern maybe not as great or even go away?
Well, I still have it to some degree because I want to say that this is still a lot of new territory. It's only been a year since transgender people were sort of given the green light to be open about their gender identity and serve in the military without repercussions or discharge. And so it takes time before you can really know how things are going to go. But my concerns have greatly lessened because I went in and started researching how did we get to that point to say we're going to allow transgender people to openly serve in the military, because I hadn't thought about that. And a lot of that stuff doesn't get reported. We don't hear about that, you know, in headline news. And so I found a report that was done back in 2015 when the Department of Defense said, wow, we've got a lot of transgender people, even though it's technically not okay for them to serve, they've been serving.
They've already
they
there.
Keep serving. They're there. They're here. So let's look at what it's going to mean to potentially permit this to become a part of our sanctioned and allowable service members to serve. And so there was the RAND Corporation did a very thorough, in-depth assessment report to provide to the Department of Defense to say, you know, this is our best estimate. And they looked at so many of the things that I had as concerns. And what it brought to me was this reassurance that they're taking all of that into consideration, the gender dysphoria, the added sometimes emotional strain that can go along with transitioning. What they are finding and prospecting is that permitting transgender people to be open and honest about who they are, and then also supporting them in whatever decisions they make as far as transitioning decisions, alleviates so much of the dysphoria or the other emotional strains. And so the benefit far outweighs the concerns.
Did you know anyone who was transgender when you were serving? I mean, there was serving at the same time you were?
Probably, but I wouldn't know it, just as they were serving with me, and they wouldn't have known it.
And they would have not wanted to tell anybody.
Correct.
At that time. So are you surprised to read that there are a fair number of military leaders, some currently who are serving and some who are retired, who have pushed back against this, who have said that this is not a good way to go ahead with the military? Or does that perhaps reflect that they're following the study and that the study is having some impact on the way military leaders see the issue of transgender people serving?
I don't know that I've actually seen or read some of the pushback from military leaders saying it's a concern or a problem for them.
There's been some pushback against President Trump's tweet is what I'm getting at, that they are saying that they're not sure that's the President Trump's idea is the way to go forward.
Oh, yes, yes. Right. OK, I see what you mean. Sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah, I've seen that there's a lot of support and that for this past year with transgender people being in the military, it seems like it's been going OK. And I am very encouraged by that. I'm not really envious of it because of, you know, the timing of my own life, but I'm happy for those young men and women who are serving in the military, who have that support. The support of your commanding officer, the support of your fellow service members, it's one of the most validating things, you know, that you can have. Because life in the military, it's unique unto itself, and there really is a lot. It's next to a family. It's probably the most important relationships you can form sometimes with people.
You say you're not envious because you don't, at this stage in life, you're not thinking about going back and serving.
Oh, absolutely
anymore.
Not. But you know, it's that whole hindsight. You're like, man, why couldn't it have been more okay when my time was in there, but. I'm happy for things that the way that they're going now.
There will always be an argument, and it came about when they discussed allowing openly gay people to serve in the military. It goes back to when they desegregated the troops racially. There's the question of unit cohesion. The military is there, you will hear people say, to kill people and break things. It's not a social experiment. When you were serving in the Air Force or in the Air National Guard, what do you think the reaction would have been? And I realize that there's, you know, lots of people there, so there's no one reaction. But, mm-hmm. you know, how would it have been acknowledged if you had said, well, I think I'm going to transition. I think I'm going to start hormone therapy, or I think I want to have surgery. Would that have been something that would have caused trouble amongst the troops?
When I think about the people, both active duty and through the Air National Guard, that I served with personally, and the different personalities, the fellow service members, coworkers, and friends that I made, if I imagine it, I think that I would have been supported by those people. I think that part of what I had to struggle through from having to be closeted in that part of my identity was my own concerns about the intimate living arrangements and feeling like I was having to compensate for this secret that I sort of had out of respect for especially fellow female service members. But a big part of what happens, or at least happened for me, being a transgender person who lived out the majority of my adult life, not pursuing transition, not being at a point in my life where I felt like I could or absolutely needed to, you just sort of adapt. It may eventually lead to trouble down the road, and for me, obviously, it did, because it's a type of suppression. You're suppressing a part of who you are. But I do believe that, you know, had it have been permissible and there that this was happening, you know, what is happening now had happened back then, I think of those personalities and those great different characters that I served with and some of the wonderful supervisors I had and commanding officers. And I think that in addition to my personality, it would have gone well.
And when you say your personality, you're a pretty outgoing person, friendly. I mean, would those things have been to your advantage in the situation where, yes, you're serving in the armed forces, and at the same time, you have decided to transition?
That's a good point, Gordon, because I think that sometimes we lose sight. We get so focused on a label or a one facet or one aspect of an issue dealing with humans, and we forget that we're these multifaceted beings, no matter who we are. And I think whether it's a transgender identity or any other particular topic, an individual's personality is a big part of how things may go for them. And I think that it took me a while to be able to acknowledge that I think a lot of my own personal, I don't know if success is the right word or not, but some of that does have to do with just my nature and my personality.
You mentioned earlier some of the concerns you did have about transgender people serving in the military. Would you say that when you look at this issue, you might look at the military differently than you look at other things related to transgender people and related to the rights of transgender people? Does the military, exist in maybe a slightly different plane for you in terms of what you would perceive as, you know, fair and just and right?
If I understand your question, I thought I was following you okay till you got to that last part. It is unlike any other employing agency. Its purpose is unique in that while there's a wide array of branches, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and within each branch, there's a wide array of careers, everything from administrative to combat type work. But ultimately, we're all there to protect and serve the welfare and of this nation, the people of this nation, and our allies, you know, both foreign and domestic. You know, we sign up that our primary purpose is the safety and the defense of the United States of America. And so I've always, no matter what the issue was, for me, I have always carried that as that is the pinnacle primary purpose of having a military. And then as you come down from that, you realize that, well, it's staffed with human beings and, you know, we're social creatures, we're emotional creatures, we have needs, we're not robots, we're not machines. But I've always felt like the military, because of that unique purpose, we can oftentimes find ourselves in situations that are different from people who are just either going to work every day in a civilian job or even a civil service job, in that we're often, we all have to get together with our bags and take off on an aircraft and go to some foreign land somewhere and live together. And I think we all carry this, whether it's accurate or not. I think we all carry at least an ideology that the military represents our finest, people who want to serve and protect the country. And so they do their jobs with the best of integrity. They do their jobs, by the best protocols, following policies and procedures. Still, it is staffed with human beings. And so what I've come to realize is that just because it's the military doesn't mean that it's, you know, without its, there's a reason that there's a court-martial process and, you know, they're human beings. And so people are fallible, people are temperamental. And
when you look back on your service, do you think in any way your struggles, if that's the right term that you were going through at that time before transitioning gender-wise, do you think any of that limited your effectiveness? Or did you do everything as well as you would have done after you had transitioned?
Yeah, that's an interesting question and something I had never really thought about before. I certainly had no issues when I was active duty. I think maybe, though some years later when I was serving with the Air National Guard, I was starting to personally sometimes have tinges of the depression. But it never affected or impacted my ability to perform my job. And yeah, I mean, I was a good, I was a great airman and rose through the ranks to the level of technical sergeant. And I did a good job. And again, sort of reserved that part of my identity for my off-duty time or my private life or, you know, however we, you know, arrange things so that they don't interfere and we conduct our jobs. If I compare that to what it would have been like to have transitioned and served, to be serving right now as Dirk, I probably just would have enjoyed life, might would have felt a little brighter, just really not having to have anything in that basement, like I mentioned earlier. But performance-wise, I would have given it 110% either way.
And that goes back to maybe the, as you said, you don't necessarily have envy, but you appreciate that now someone serving can serve and not have to conceal identity and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
For now.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think one of the things that even me at times, I don't think I realize, and so I'm sure that many people are unaware of the very deep-seated, sometimes, not everybody, but especially maybe people of older generations like myself, deep-seated feelings of shame that you carry internally. And so somewhere inside you, you may even feel like you're always trying to prove yourself. I've wondered that. You know, I've always wanted to serve others and please others and take care of others and help others. And, you know, part of me, you know, I've wondered how much of that is just innate personality, but how much of that is to also sort of offset this deep feeling that I'm different or there's something shameful about me. And in order to prove my worthiness, you know, I really have to rise, you know, go above and beyond, you know, to do that. So, yeah, so I'm so happy because, like I mentioned earlier, there's nothing more validating to you as a human being than when you can be seen for who you are and not shamed or ridiculed. Does that mean people aren't going to say and do things? But they do that all the time anyway, that, you know, people get picked on all the time, regardless of gender. That's just part of personality dynamics, if you will. And are some transgender people going to be targeted? Yeah, I think that, as you mentioned earlier, you know, when there was desegregation was, you know, happening, people got targeted. Even though the laws began to change and the protocols began to change, it doesn't mean that automatically we all just start being nice to each other. So that's part of the unknown territory. I think we have to be brave, and I think that we have to continue to wade through that. And the young men and women that are doing that right now, I've had people tell me that I'm brave to have, you know, finally reached a point where I spoke my truth, lived my truth, and to be public about it, because I have obviously chosen to be public about it for the people that it may help to hear my story. But they are brave to be doing it in uniform and to be doing it right now. And so I'm definitely glad for them.
Dirk, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Dirk Hamilton served in the Air Force and also in the Air National Guard. Since then, he has transitioned to a man. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.